Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Meeting Pros.
Welcome to Meeting Pros. I'm Michael Lauer, and super excited about this week's show. We have with us Lori Harbin with ISIS.
Hello.
And we have Erica Brewitt with a big to-do event. How are you doing, Erica?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're super excited to have you guys here. This is our ISIS special, where ISIS brings some high-profile guests in to kind of talk about everything happening in the meeting and events arena. So with that, Lori, let's go ahead and give me a mission and purpose for ISIS, and then we'll kind of talk about TEP also.
So ISIS is the worldwide organization serving the creative event professional globally. So our big thing is we are everybody in events, you know, not just weddings, not just catering, not just meetings. We have a little bit of everything, and we truly are worldwide. Like, it's amazing the people that we've met and the relationships that we've all built with members in other chapters, a lot more so than any other organization I've ever been in. And my business, you know, at TEP Catering now is pretty much only in Atlanta, but it's awesome to be able to talk to caterers in other cities and kind of get their feedback, because it's a lot better than talking to caterers here. Cause I don't really want to, you know, you talk to them, but you're like, I don't really want to tell you this situation, you know, because maybe you're bidding on this too. But in other cities, you can be like, hey, I've got this scenario. How would you approach this?
It's
awesome.
Yeah, it's a convenient way and kind of a no-lose way to get best practices kind of thing.
Exactly. And just to, you know, I mean, sometimes it's good for learning trends too. I mean, you know, things hit different cities at different times, and we share with them just as much as they share with us.
So it's a great moment to kind of take a minute and talk a little bit about TEP Catering and your mission.
Well, we are a full-service caterer, as you know. I've been on before and talked a little bit about us. But we do both corporate and social events. Tilted a little bit more towards corporate still, but I'd say the social market is definitely up and coming. A lot of what we do is inside the perimeter, because that's where we are. But we surely are willing to travel outside the perimeter. And, you know, even, you know, an hour and a half outside of Atlanta, things are going on in the mountains or, you know, closer down to Macon or out towards Augusta as well. Our big news, which I've been teasing for a few months, is that there is a new venue that's about to come online. That's all I'm going to say right now.
Oh, where is it? Come on.
It's inside the perimeter.
That's it.
I'll tell you, it's inside the perimeter. It is an awesome loft-type space.
Oh, cool.
Exposed brick, wood floors. The big announcement should be coming in the next 2 weeks.
So you're excited about that.
Name, location, all that kind of stuff. It'll be a great spot for corporate events for sure, but also for the I see it being the slightly older couple getting married. Not like, you know, like I'm thinking like 30 in their 30s, professional, maybe paying for the weddings themselves. Somebody that wants something more urban, less country, rustic, cottage type traditional, you know, wedding look, more, you know,
contemporary
furniture and food stations, and, you know, kind of that we're having a fabulous party and less of a traditional, you know.
Sure.
We're going to do everything by the book, the way the wedding book says that we're going to do it.
So I'm kind of ignorant to how the catering world works in a business sense. Do you kind of partner with spaces and venues, and you recommend them and they recommend you? Is that kind of how that usually works?
Absolutely. Definitely, almost all of the major venues have a preferred catering list. Some don't. You know, some recommend caterers but don't really have any rules or anything to go by. So it really is about building the relationship with them and bringing business to them. But it's also about building relationship with the planners.
Sure.
Because a lot of times they have the clients before they even book a venue and make recommendations for where to have your event and who, you know, you want to use. And that's why I love ISIS, because it's a whole network where we all get to know each other, both professionally and personally. And so you know who you like to work with, and you know who matches the style for your client, because sometimes that's, you know, half the battle is, you know vendors that you love, but you know maybe they're not quite right for your clients. So then you have a whole world that you can go to. And if nothing right. else, you can go to people and say, hey, mm-hmm. I have a client and who do you recommend? Like I sent a message to Erica. I think it was last week. I was talking to a bride and she's like, I don't know what I want to do about my cake. Who do you recommend? And you know, I know kind of what I like in terms of the way cakes taste, but I don't book wedding, you know, the cakes often. I'm not usually involved in the process. So I sent her a message and I said, tell me who you like. And her the top of her list was a lot of the top of my list. So then it was like it validated my list.
Right, right, right. And from a consumer standpoint, face value of this can be kind of it can seem kind of like it's a bad thing because maybe they're in a collusion and you may not be getting the best caterer if you go to an event or the best because they're just saying, oh yeah, you should use this guy. And but that's not necessarily true, is it?
No, definitely not. You know, you like to hope that it's all pure and it's right. based on, you know. Here, let me give you this list. And you know, and you kind of know sometimes it's not. But I think that for the most part in Atlanta, we all play nice in the sandbox.
Right.
You know? Well, and that's why we get involved with organizations like ISIS, because you do build those relationships. And, you know, you find yourself in a committee meeting and it's the top, you know, six right. caterers in Atlanta are all sitting there in that committee meeting, all of us working together to try to make a fabulous event
sure.
for
well,
everyone.
And on top of that, too, is if you're recommending an event that may not, or a space that may not be as nice, but you're doing it because they're giving you references, mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to get out that it's going to hurt your credibility.
Right.
So that spreads around. I can speak to that a little bit. I just recently got married, and we planned the wedding, and it was really great when the florist, the caterer, and the event all were recommending each other. But on top of that, when we had the event, they already had worked together.
Right.
So it went better. Speak to that collaboration a little bit when you start working with people you already work with.
You know, the best part about it is that when you have the vendors that you work with all the time, you already know that they have a level of professionalism that matches what you're offering to your clients. So you know they're going to be on time. They're going to follow the timelines. They're going to be dressed professionally. Their staff is going to speak professionally because sometimes that's half the battle. You know, there's nothing worse than getting to an event and it's somebody that you've never worked with before and just somebody that's not the person who your client was working with shows up to execute and they don't have those things. It kind of throws everybody off slightly because your whole purpose becomes, we want to make sure the client doesn't see this. So you all start working behind the scenes and then everybody has to work a little harder. When you're working with right. the people, when you all recommend each other and you all work together, it's just seamless. And you know everybody's going to do their part. So nobody's going to have to step up and fill in and do something that's not their responsibility. But you also know if something happens, they all will step up and do what they need to make that event flawless for the client. And that's the biggest thing.
Right. And I think that with all these factors, it's to one goal, and that's making a better event for clients. Right?
Absolutely.
So ISIS's role, you were mentioning earlier that it's great because it's a national association, so you can go to other chapters and kind of get best practices in other states for your industry. But talk to a little bit about the cross-pollination between industries. Like you get to know Erica, for example. I mean, you get to network in a different way other than just caterers, right?
Exactly. And that's the biggest thing, because you never know where your next client's going to come from, because everybody knows different people. And people book vendors at different times, because sometimes I know I'm going to have an event and I know I need fabulous balloon decor. So I know I'm going to book Balloonacy. So they're already on my list. And so then you go to them and you say, hey, you know, who else do you recommend for that? And one of the biggest things about ISIS and being worldwide is when somebody comes into the city as an ISIS member and they're doing an event in Atlanta, they will reach out to ISIS members and say, hey, here's this event. You know, I definitely want you to partner with me on it for whatever you do, but then who else do you recommend? And so you get to help.
You can plug in immediately.
Exactly. And you know, and then you know too, if you're going somewhere else, you can be like, hey, I don't know anything about this city, but I'm going to pull up this ISIS list and I may not know somebody there necessarily, but I can reach out and then right away it's a warm connection right. where you can say, hey, I'm an ISIS member in Atlanta. I'm coming to the city. I want to plug into your chapter for this event.
So the folks at home may not know this, but you are the president-elect for ISIS, correct?
I am the president now.
Oh, the
as
president.
As of July 1st.
As of July. Yes. Wow. So how is it like taking the big seat?
You know, it's been good so far. I feel like I had from Kelly Treadway last year. We did a lot of great stuff, but it's, you know, she prepped me for it really well. So I feel like it's been seamless. It's a lot more, I spend a lot more time thinking and doing ISIS stuff than I maybe thought that I would. But right now it's also, you know, it's July and we're doing all our planning. We have our board retreat coming up, where we kind of map out our plan for the year, but we're very focused this year on our members. And we want to really expand the benefits of ISIS. And there's a lot of benefits on paper, you know, things that you get and the whole network of people that you connect to and discounts you get and all that kind of stuff. But there's also an almost unwritten benefit in Atlanta of benefits here in our chapter. And that's really what we're working on educating our members about. And our non-members, too, because, you know, there's a lot of organizations in this city and there's a lot of associations you can belong to and things that you can go to. And we want people to know why ISIS.
Right. We're here with Lori Harbin with TEP Catering and the new president for ISIS here on Meeting Pros. Tell me what gets you the most excited about what's coming up for ISIS, the next big thing that you guys are kind of planning?
Oh, our next big thing for sure is Race for a Taste. It is on August 12th. It is going to be held this year at the Foundry at Purity Mill, and our theme is Drag Race for a Taste. Race for a Taste is probably every year is our biggest event.
Okay, so explain what the event normally is.
So there's two pieces to it. There is the actual Race for a Taste, which is the catering competition. So we will have five caterers, and they all have a theme that they pick, and we have an overall theme, and then they pick an individual piece. And they designed their station to match that to, you know, the food reflects it. And then everybody that's at the event gets to vote. Best taste, best overall presentation.
So what was the theme overall. For last year?
Last year was a digital scavenger hunt.
Oh, that's interesting.
So all of our caterers did kind of a digital theme. So our winner last year, our catering winner, their theme was Apple. So their entire display, they had like a big iPhone that they built and they had the Apple logo everywhere, and they tied into that. This year's theme is Drag for Race for a Taste, and there's lots of different connotations to the word drag.
Yes, there
there's
are.
The whole, you know, drag queen, but there's also drag racing.
Right.
So it's actually a hybrid of everything. So without giving out any details about what the caterers have picked to ruin the surprise, just, you know, think about, you know, those two things
sure.
coming together in one. But the other side of it is the team competition. So last year, the teams did a digital scavenger hunt all through. We were at Calamald. So they were all through there, and they were answering questions and taking pictures and doing all kinds of stuff. This year, we're back to kind of traditional races of sorts. So there's going to be a lot of head-to-head competition and a lot of races that are going to have a great spectator value. So even if people don't have a team or can't be on a team or are scared to be on a team because they've never been to the event before and they're like, oh my gosh, what am I getting into? We have a spectator rate. So we encourage everyone to just come out and have fun. And then you get to taste all the fabulous food and you get to vote.
Sure.
And you get to watch everything. And it's going to be amazing.
So I'm assuming it's a cost to attend kind of
there
thing?
There is a registration fee. And essentially, you know, our registration fees are there to help us cover costs because,
absolutely.
You know, You can't always do everything 100% in kind. But we also, this is a fundraiser. So we're
sure.
raising money for education for our chapter. So we use that money to budget for speakers down the road. We also use it for scholarships. ISIS Live is one of our conventions each year. And it's always in August. This year it's in Seattle. So we did a $2,500 scholarship this year so that the chapter was covering for one of our members the cost to register for a full education package, and essentially it was designed to cover airfare and the lodging
wow,
for the
neat.
Conference. So that's why we do the fundraisers, because we want to give back and help our – because we know a lot of our members are small businesses. It may just be, oh, you know, a one-person shop, and it's hard to budget $2,000, $3,000 to go to a conference, even if you know there's a huge value to it. So we want to be able to help our members go, because I really think once you go, you see the benefit. Erica can definitely speak to that as a past winner.
Yeah, Erica, go ahead. Let's go. It's a good time to introduce Erica here. We got Erica Pruitt with a big to-do event. How are you doing, Erica?
I'm great.
So before we get into what it was like to be a winner, tell me a little bit about a big to-do event.
A big to-do event is a full-service social and corporate event planning firm. We do, the best way to describe the events that we do is if it's appropriate to raise a toast at that event, it's an event appropriate for us to plan.
How did you guys come up with that criteria?
It fits. It just fits.
What about the raising of the toast? How does that fit into your business model? Is it a certain type of decor that you guys do? Is it a certain type of style? Like what's the...
Well, you wouldn't necessarily raise a toast at a kid's birthday party.
Sure.
So we don't do those.
Gotcha.
You wouldn't necessarily raise a toast at... another kind of event that we don't do.
Sure.
So it just kind of...
So that's part of your selection process. So absolutely. What's the caliber? What's the draw? What's the... Right.
Right. Right.
So tell me a typical client for you.
On the wedding side, our clients are mid-20s to mid-30s. If I was describing a bride, I would say that she drives... she drives an SUV. She probably shops at Trader Joe's. She works out. She wants to get married with a certain amount of budget that mom and dad have provided.
Sure.
And then she and her fiance are supplementing the rest.
So you typically have to work within some pretty restrained budget. Right?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, really?
Yeah, our brides are usually in the normal budget range for the kind of
sure
for the amount of money that their family wants to spend.
What's the average amount people spend on a wedding nowadays?
The average wedding inside the perimeter is $33,000.
Wow.
Outside, it's about $29,700.
Wow, it's a pretty big amount of money for one day, right? It's a lot of pressure, though. I mean, they're spending all this money, and you got to live up to this, right?
Well, one of the things that's important to me is because my family, my parents are blue-collar workers, so I understand the value of money.
Sure.
So I understand that money doesn't grow on trees and that a budget is a budget. So helping our clients and our families not go over budget is important. So that goes back to why I'm so involved in the events community here in Atlanta, and it's specifically with ISIS, because I can give my families a list of vendors that fit their price ranges. And so they're not wasting time talking to the vendor that they'll never be able to afford. So it's part of my job to give them that spreadsheet that is specific to them.
So talk a little bit about something the industry has dubbed as co-opetition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what is that, and how does it fit into your business model?
It's actually my word.
Oh, so it's branded by you.
Yeah.
Do you get like a nickel every time someone says it?
I wish. I wish it was a quarter.
Quarter, even better.
Co-opetition is the idea that there's enough pie for everyone. So instead of competition, we work together. So it's co-opetition. We do that a lot in the planning world, where I will work with a client who has no idea that I own my own business, but I'm working with another planning firm and going under their umbrella to make that planning firm look bigger and to provide better services and bigger services to their client. Other venues and vendors use that model as well. So a caterer may fulfill an order for another smaller caterer, just because it is all about the client. That's the premise around co-opetition, is it's not about me. It's not about the vendor. It's all about the client. So the more we can work together and the more vendors that can collaborate, more people have more parties, and the world's happier.
this seems kind of counterintuitive, especially from a businessman standpoint traditionally. How did this really come about? Is this something that someone's just like, oh, you know what? I scratch your back, you scratch my back kind of thing? Or is it common practice now?
It's getting there.
It's getting there. Okay.
It's getting there. It's important that it starts getting there, and that we continue on this track, because when I first started my business here in Atlanta in 2005, Atlanta was a very territorial city, and folks had their book of business and they didn't want to share best practices and they didn't want to share who their clients were, and they
it's the secret sauce, right?
But it's not.
Right.
But it's not. You're only as good as people think you are. So if more people think you're awesome because you help other people, the more that will come to you. So it's about reciprocity as well. So helping the industry and helping other people have bigger and better parties just makes the world a happier place.
Sure. Lori, is this something that you're seeing in the catering business as well?
Absolutely. You know, you have to, you build those relationships, because you can't always do everything and you're not always right to do everything. So it is important to have that network, because in our case, you know, it may be that maybe a client wants something very specific, and while we could do it, it wouldn't be the same. So it makes sense to bring in somebody under us and let us just coordinate it so it's seamless for the client. But maybe we do bring in a food truck, or we bring in Krispy Kreme donuts, or, you know, we bring in something like that where it's not produced by us, but it's under our umbrella. But then on the flip side of it, it's also somebody calls me to book an event, you know, and I'm sold out on that day. I want to be able to help them, and I want to be able to say, hey, you know what? We're sold out, but call this company, mm-hmm. because I know that they are, you know, they're going to give you the service and the quality of food that you'd get from us when I can't help you. And we all, I would say most of the caterers in Atlanta have that relationship where we know we have the other people to turn to when we want to refer business, when we can't help people.
Right. And it's not a scarcity of business, no. Right?
Oh, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. The thing that's important, that the only reason coopetition can work, if this one leg of the stool is broken, the whole stool falls over, is the trust factor. So we sign contracts with all of our other planners, or, you know, other firms. We'll sign contracts with them and say, I will never approach this client and take you out of it. So there's got to be that level of trust that if you bring me in, I'm not going to go around you and cut you out.
Well, that's one way to get yourself on the blacklist too, right?
Absolutely.
It happened. I mean, that's why we're in this position, because people tried it. They got cut out. They became territorial.
And they have a bad taste in their mouth now, right?
So now we've just got to change the paradigm.
Sure. So is this something that ISIS is on board with and is kind of helping you out, getting the word out on this?
Absolutely. So I'm speaking at the Austin chapter of ISIS in September about this concept. And then I just got back from speaking at the Orlando chapter about this concept.
Lori, as the new president, what are some ways, future ways besides that ISIS can kind of get the word out on this co-opetition?
You know, I think a lot of it probably just comes from getting involved with the chapter, because the more you're involved and the more you get to know people on the personal level, that's when you start talking about it. We always say we have an unofficial motto of the best business is done in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's not done in the, you know, the formal, I'm coming and I'm doing a sales presentation to you. It's you go to things and you meet people and you get to know them, and then you understand, you know, their business and what their philosophy is. And then it's almost organic.
You got to have a
how
relationship.
How it develops. Yeah.
It all goes back to the relationship. And that's one of the things that ISIS is so well known for. And the other thing about doing business with ISIS folks is that ISIS has a standard code of conduct. So if you behave badly or have ethics questions, there's a formal process to get you removed from the organization if you step over that line.
So when did you start a big to-do event?
2005.
2005. Okay. So what were you doing before that?
From 1999 to 2005, I was in college, and I was running basically an event planning company, but also I was an AmeriCorps volunteer. So all of my events, we did about 100 events in 2 years through my AmeriCorps office participation, doing nonprofit events. And then when I moved here to Atlanta in 2004, I worked for did a sales job and did it for about a year, did really well, made more money than a 23-year-old needs to make. but I didn't get to see the guy that I moved to Atlanta for. So I quit that, started a big to-do, and haven't looked back.
So at what point did you join ISIS?
I joined ISIS in 2012.
So, but not right when you started?
No.
So how did you find out about them, and what prompted you to join?
When I first started my company, that was one of the first things that I did was find out what organizations I could join. And to be real honest, when I first started, I started my business with $234 because that was the amount of money that my savings bonds that I won as Student of the Year a couple of times, that's how much they accrued to. So I started my business with $234. 60 of it went to business cards, and 90 of it went to joining a leads group called PowerCore. I just didn't have the money to join ISIS.
Sure. But you knew about it.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Went to a couple of meetings, and it was really Kelly Treadway who kept taking me to coffee. Let's go to lunch. And she was the only one in all of the alphabet soup of organizations in Atlanta. She was the only one that said she wanted me. So I joined ISIS.
That's kind of the philosophy there, right? I mean, that's kind of how it works. They want all of them because it's a really helping thing. It's a pulling up, not a pushing down, right? I mean, how has that philosophy continued and evolved through the years?
You know, it almost just kind of happens, and I don't know. You know, I can't speak towards other chapters, but I assume it happens there too. But it's just kind of like that's Atlanta was one of the first chapters of ISIS,
sure.
So we have a long history, and I think just the nature of the organization, we just kind of it's kind of the
DNA,
people we attract.
Right.
It is in our DNA. I actually just came here from a coffee meeting with somebody who is at the point where they're like, you know, we need to do more. We need to do networking. And they're looking at it from they're looking at it right now as a nationwide thing because they're expanding their business and they want to have a network to reach out to in new cities.
Right.
And they were like, you know, tell us more about this and how can we do this? And so I was there with our VP of membership, Rebecca, and we spent an hour talking to them about ISIS and why ISIS, and I hope that they felt really much like I want to join at the end
right.
of it. I left because before they were done, I left Rebecca there to talk to them some more. But, you know, we both had like very personal stories in very different ways about concrete things that ISIS has done for us. I wouldn't have my job at TEP Catering without ISIS.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, the same question mm-hmm. I just asked Erica. How did you join and what prompted you and all that?
I actually joined in 2007. At the time, I was working at Zoo Atlanta, and the role I stepped into was one of my job responsibilities was to be the ISIS member. So it wasn't even a question. It was, we're going to sign you up.
You're
so
I'm
like the rare person that like I joined at the most random time of the year, like not with a membership drive or anything, like paid for a full year, even though I joined right before the membership drive, just because corporate was like, here you go. And they threw me in, and I never really looked back. And, you know, after I left there, I got recruited away from the zoo. And then, unfortunately, the company that recruited me got acquired by another company, and I lost my job. And I fell back on ISIS, and I did some consulting work, and I did all kinds of stuff while I was unemployed. But ISIS led me into my next job that I stayed
sure.
in, and that led me to the board. And then when I decided it was time to make a change, I actually had a meeting with Kelly Treadway again. Like, it all goes back to Kelly always. We were actually meeting to do legit, like, ISIS things when I was president-elect and she was president. And she's like, something's not right. And so we just started talking and I started, you know, we just were having a conversation. And she is like, you should call Eric. She's like, I think he's ready for someone to come in and kind of take sales and run with it. And so I got back. Did. I got on my email like before I even left her driveway. And I was like, hey, Kelly Treadway just said you might be looking for someone. I'm looking for something new. Let's go to coffee. And then, that was on Wednesday.
Right.
I got my formal offer letter on Saturday.
Wow.
That's how fat, because we already had the relationship. That's the beauty of ISIS. Like, he already knew me. I already knew him. I knew a decent amount about the company. You know, so a lot of that stuff that you do when you're looking for a job, I got to, you know, you skip all those steps
that's
when you're
awesome.
Moving in this industry.
Sure.
And that's one of the things I love the most about ISIS is having that to fall back on. I always tell that to my husband. He's in IT and, you know, and he works for a major computer company. And I mean, it's a risk. I mean, they could at some point come to him and be like, we want to send you to corporate, or we want to send you to this data center. Right. We want to send you here. And I'm like, as long as it's a major city where there's an ISIS chapter, that doesn't scare me. Like,
right.
I don't want to leave my Atlanta family. But if it were to happen, I know we could say, you know, if we were to pick up and move to the Colorado Springs, you know, data center, I'd be like, hey, Denver ISIS. Hello.
What's up?
I mean, I told him, I was like, hey, there's a lot of IT in Austin. So if you ever start looking, Austin is a solid chapter, but we'll never leave Atlanta. So
right.
It's really, that's just us talking randomly.
But
it's
good to have that ISIS network everywhere.
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of people, there's people that have come into our chapter from other cities that have felt it, but we've also had members from our chapter that have left and gone to other cities. And recently we had a member who moved, and then she got some very unfortunate news about a member of her family. And the ISIS community totally swarmed in, and the new city chapter reached out to us and said, hey, we just found this out and she's new and nobody really knows her yet. What can we do? And we all worked together to build a support system for her.
That's
in the new
so
city.
Cool.
And it was just amazing to watch. And nobody had her like physical mailing address,
right,
because all her stuff still sits in Atlanta. I mean, and we as a group worked and we had that address in like 25 minutes. When we all pulled together and said, who do you know? And reached out to our various
That's
sources.
Incredible. The speed
it was
of
amazing.
Business that happens is exponential. That's incredible.
Yeah. And that was, I mean, it was totally a personal thing. And there was no, I mean, there's no, you know, this is what we do. I mean,
right,
that was just, it's the right thing to do. And we're going to do this. And we're going to.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the great,
sure.
it's a family.
So, Erica, how has your business changed after joining ISIS?
When I joined ISIS in 2012, I was, we were probably doing 25 events a year, mainly weddings, because in 2008, corporate went away. So we were building back up, the corporate side, but probably still majority weddings. And this year we'll hit 50.
Wow, so it's doubled.
Absolutely. And the reason that is like Lori said, the relationships are key. But then also we do events all over the world. So having the relationship with an ISIS person who is, for example, we just did an event in Yosemite National Park, and so I reached out to the ISIS folks in California and asked them who they knew for vendors, and so that helps my clients.
Oh, yeah.
Benefit, and the difference between my business now versus then, we mentioned at the top of the show that I was a recipient of one of the scholarships. And absolutely changed my business trajectory. Those conferences were always kind of on my wish list of things to do, but it was hard for me to justify, like Lori said, spending $1,000 or whatever, $2,000
sure.
for 4 days at a conference. I won the scholarship and I'll never not go again.
So I wanna highlight something else. We're here with Erica Pruitt on Meeting Pros. You are the only meeting planner in Atlanta who is certified by the Gay Wedding Institute in NYC. So, first of all, what does it take to be certified in that? I mean, can't anyone plan a wedding? I mean, what's so special?
So the Gay Wedding Institute in New York City is run by a fantastic planner, Bernadette Coveney Smith, and she is the nation's first gay wedding planner.
Sure.
That's amazing. She's fantastic. So after sitting at her feet for several conferences, she offered an opportunity to take a class. It's about a 3-month class where you literally have homework, you have research you have to do, you have to write papers. And I mean, it's a big deal,
right,
to get certified. It's just like any other certification. And right now I am Atlanta's only planner who is certified to work in that market.
So how has that changed your business? Is it where you're getting more of that clientele, or you're allowed to do different types of, what does that do for your business?
It definitely gives me some credibility.
Right.
And it's not even really about the credibility. It's about the education. So it's my job to be an advocate for all of my clients, gay, straight, whatever.
Right.
So it's my responsibility to be the face of the client and make sure that the client's getting what they're paying for. On the gay wedding side, it's my responsibility to be their advocate, because we don't want any of the vendors to be stupid. I don't know a better way to say
that.
Right.
Well, they need to be up on what's going on.
Well, they need to be polite. They need to be gay friendly.
Right.
So I can't, it's my job to interview and make sure that caterer, for example, I want to make sure that all of their servers are gay friendly. I can't have some stupid server at the wedding say some offhanded comment and the mother of the groom hear it. That's,
yeah, it's not gonna,
not cool.
Yeah, not cool. Yeah.
So that's part of what it gives me, is the knowledge and the just the education that it is a different wedding.
Sure.
They, our gay clients do a different kind of reception than our straight clients.
It makes you an authority.
Yeah.
So what's on the horizon for a big to-do event?
We'll continue to do 50 events a year, and we will continue to grow. Right now there are two full-time planners and one part-time, and we'll continue to make that number bigger. And I don't know how many or when,
right,
but it will happen. And next year, I'll be sitting in Lori's shoes as president of
All
ISIS.
All right.
So continuing the speaking market, and continuing just growing and helping our clients plan better parties.
So where can folks go to learn more about a big to-do event, maybe get in touch with you, be a client, stuff like that?
Sure. Our website is www.abigtodoevent.com. You can also email me at Erica, spelled with a C, at abigtodoevent.com. And all those are singular because it is your event. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at Checklist Queen.
All right, Lori, so where can folks learn more about TEP and ISIS?
TEP, our website is www.tepcatering.com. You can find me, L. Harbin, at tepcatering.com, or if it's easier, events@tepcatering.com. Any of them work. Also, our Facebook page, which is just TEP Catering on Facebook, is where we're going to slowly start to reveal all the details about the venue. Also, Twitter at TEP Catering and Instagram. We're everywhere.
You're everywhere.
All the social medias. ISIS, our ISIS website is isisatlanta.com. And we are also on Facebook. On Facebook, we're Greater Atlanta ISIS. And Facebook is definitely, I'd say, our biggest social media, but we also do Twitter, ISIS Atlanta, and we have an Instagram page that's still relatively new. Something fun that we just launched 2 weeks ago is ISIS Atlanta Pets, where there's a whole, there's a, you know, here, meet this pet, but then there's also, then beyond that, it's a whole, like, hashtagging your pets.
That's cool.
Because, you know, we're all it's really fun. Only as good right. as our dogs think we are. When it comes down to it. So, and we've always talked about how we want to have a pet friendly event. So this is our way of kind of doing that a little bit.
Right.
So
just, that's
you know,
cool.
You know, fun stuff like that. Cause it's not all about, you know, here's our next event. Here's this, here's that. It's like, you know, it's about having a conversation and making people want to follow us on Instagram. So why not do something fun? Cause you know, dogs and cats on Instagram is huge.
Yeah.
So absolutely. That all that credit goes to our VP of communications, Jordan. It was her idea. She was like, what if we did this? And I'm like, let's do it. And she launched it like, within cool. 24 hours.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you guys on.
Thank
Excellent. You. It's always a pleasure.
Great. I'm Michael Lauer. We'll see you next time on Meeting Pros.